Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, so we go there for them. World-famous Phil Henry Show brought to you each and every night, Monday through Friday here from 10 to 1. And, of course, we are live on Phil TV in HD, and that is on our website, philhenryshow.com. A couple of things that we have for you on our website. We have Phil Henry's new home movies. That is the family's home movies that you should take a look at. We did I did kind of a little bit of a primer at 6 p.m. Pacific this evening for our backstage pass people, and so they saw the Henry family in all its glory as the story began. And we sort of went from the Canada. There was actually some black and white stuff from Canada in 1945, and then through the latter part of that decade on into the early 50s, and the subsequent. Well, I don't want to get into it because it's rather tawdry. I'm kidding, bud.
Yeah, you should say you're kidding.
Anyway, check it out at philhenryshow.com. This evening, we're going to talk a little bit about advertising, and we're going to talk about it with a guy that knows something about it. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills is going to join us right now.
Ted of Beverly Hills, great to be with you this evening, Phil, in our regularly sponsored segment. And we do want to talk about product loyalty and customer loyalty.
Here at Ted's.
Tonight here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
And it's good to be with you, Ted. How is business?
You know what? Business is fantastic. And I'll tell you what, the economy, obviously, you've been reading the news. The economy is picking up. As a very well-known restaurateur here on the West Coast, and I'm very fortunate that I am known throughout much of the country among my colleagues. When business gets better, it automatically gets better with the people who have been traditionally the best ones at business. And so as things have picked up here a little bit, we have noticed that, Phil, here at Ted's of Beverly Hills. That's because of the very great service I think we've given people down through the years. And we certainly hope it will continue.
Now, you wanted to talk about product loyalty. You and I had a very interesting conversation. I want to let my audience in on this. About the Rush Limbaugh experience with advertisers when he went through this whole thing with this fluke lady and the slut comment and so on and so forth. He lost advertisers. They're now coming back, is my understanding.
Yeah, well, here is what I wanted to tell you and I want to tell your audience. And this is a classic example of a stand that he took that I thought was right. What happened was an advertiser dropped him, and when the controversy died down, the advertiser wanted back on the show, and Limbaugh wouldn't let the advertiser back on the show.
And now, what side of that do you stand on?
Well, I stand with the advertiser. I stand with the advertiser because they understandably dropped Limbaugh as a spokesman when he said things that they perceived would damage their product. Once the controversy around Rush Limbaugh began to simmer down a little bit, then they realized that it was a safe bet to go with Limbaugh, and they said to him, all right, we're going to use you again as a spokesperson. And Limbaugh, in what I thought was a show of arrogance, the likes of which I haven't seen, said no.
Yeah, Rush turned down this advertiser.
Yeah. And I thought that was suicidal. And I thought that it's emblematic of what's happening right now, Bill. The people, the customers out there, are right now going to have to go back to these businesses and show them that they support them, because as business picks up, these businesses will be able to be a little bit more select and a bit pickier as to who it is they want to serve.
And when Rush said to this advertiser, and I think the name of it is Sleep Train, am I right about that?
That's correct, yes.
They said, we would like you now to be our spokesperson again, Mr. Limbaugh. I guess they were satisfied that the controversy was not perhaps as serious as they thought. And
yeah, exactly. And they took a look at it, and they realized that, as the saying goes, the coast was clear, and that Limbaugh was now going to be told to come back and continue being a spokesman. And instead of taking the job back, which I believe not only was he lucky to have the job offered to him, but I think it was his duty, if not something that he should have been compelled to do, and instead he told them, no, I'm not going to do it.
Now, yeah, but now let's tell the audience his reasoning for this.
His reasoning was that he was an ingrate. He's got an ego the size of you-know-what.
That's not fair, Ted. The reason for this was simply Rush didn't feel it was smart to be taken off of an account by an advertiser because they say you are too controversial, and then to go back on that account because it looks like you are saying to your audience, they chastised me, and I recognize how wrong I was, and now I'm back being a spokesperson.
But what is exactly wrong with that?
Well, I think what's wrong with it is it makes someone like Rush Limbaugh, who is supposed to have credibility with his audience, who's supposed to have when you're doing that kind of a show, you have to have not only credibility, but I believe a strong point of view so that people have faith in what you're saying and will listen.
Well, I don't understand. You're saying, in other words, Rush Limbaugh turning around to an advertiser. Do you understand where we are these days? The economy now is just coming back. But a lot of people, a lot of consumers, during the very down times of this economy, Phil, I use a lot of these analogies. I hope you forgive me. But if business were, for instance, a hungry man lying in the street, a lot of these consumers would have stepped right on his face as they walked over him on their way to wherever. That's how business was treated by consumers during this down economy. Now, I'll give you another example.
I think that's a...
That's a what?
That is. I believe that's an absurd thing to say. I think that when an economy is down.
Hold on. Before you say anything, you know what I do for a living, right?
Of course.
All right. Well, tell people what I do for a living.
I know what you do.
Please tell people what I. I'm an advertiser. You're the host. I'm telling you now what I'd like you to do because this economy. You know, I've supported your show through this economy.
You own a restaurant.
I own a restaurant, so I think I know something about the consumer and their what they want and how loyal they are, how unloyal they are, why they're going to come back, are they not going to come back. All of these are very, very important questions, and they need to be answered in as expeditious a way as possible to redound, if you will, to the betterment or to the betterment of the business. Now, I'll give you another example. Disney debuted the movie John Carter, and I believe it was debuted last night. Do you have those facts?
I saw this story. Bud, did you want to get that?
Yeah, let's get the John Carter movie.
Yeah, the John Carter movie by Disney. Let me take a look here. Ted, go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say is Disney rolled out a $250 million movie this weekend. $250 million. Now, I want you to think about that. That is more money than at one time if you proposed. I remember when they proposed spending $200 million on Waterworld, and they wanted to lock Kevin Costner up in a lunatic asylum. You remember that, right?
Okay, well, yeah. I mean, that was the early 90s, wasn't it?
That was the early 90s. And when they said they were going to spend $200 million on a film, they wanted to take Costner, the producer, everybody, and lock them in a lunatic ward. Now you have a movie that just debuted this weekend, John Carter. $250 million Disney went out and spent to try to give the people of this country and the people of this world some quality entertainment. That is a lot of money, Phil. That is $250 million. And guess what they were rewarded with? And this is what I'm talking about.
I heard the box office was not good.
Yeah, it was $5 million.
Wow.
$5 million. This is what I mean when I say that the consumer has not even the common decency to look at what these companies are going through, what these businesses are going through. They're like Rush Limbaugh. They look at a struggling business and they say, well, you know something? I don't care if you're having a hard time. You didn't do this and you didn't do this. There's some petty thing. And they, you know, to use a phrase that my friend Bob Robbins uses, they lift their leg to it. And that's what the consumer has done to Disney, and I think that's what they did. I believe that that is what Rush Limbaugh did to Sleep Train.
I think that we're missing here the consumer's point of view.
I know the consumer's point of view.
If you know it, I will just state it for the record, for the obvious. The consumer is saying, I'm not getting quality for my dollar.
Well, all right, so that, listen to what you just said, because that indicts the consumer even more. I'm not getting what I want for my dollar. Disney spent $250 billion. Are they getting what they want for their dollar?
They're the ones that made the movie.
No, I understand that.
They're the ones that marketed the film.
Not right. But are they getting what they want? A guy goes to the movies to the tune of the American public responded to this movie for $5 million, and it was a $250 million movie. That was the American consumer sticking it to Disney, not the other way around. And it is the consumer sticking it to Sleep Train when Rush says, on second thought, I'm not going to be your spokesman because you hurt my feelings. And
that's not why he said he's not going to be their spokesman.
Well, Phil, you and I both know that's what it boils down to. And it is what happens to me when someone comes into my restaurant and they say that our clams are what happened this evening. Somebody said the clams smelt or tasted, they used the word rancid, and they used that word loud enough whereby another table heard it. And that's what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about, there's not even the common courtesy to tell me that maybe they don't like our food so it isn't so loud everybody on the street hears it.
All right, Ted Bell is with us as we talk about consumer loyalty, product loyalty. What is there anything to this argument that the consumer owes loyalty to a brand? Disney spent $250 million to make a movie that the audience said, no, we don't want to see it. They only spent $5 million to go see the film. That's a stiff of a box office. You've got Ted Bell here, angry at customers who said that his seafood tasted rancid, loud enough so that other customers could hear it. And, of course, Rush Limbaugh with Sleep Train. So do you think you owe loyalty to a brand? 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
A reminder, this portion of the Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by Ted Bell, Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. And we really do our best for you. We would rather you not come into our restaurant, though, and badmouth our food.
Which is what happened last night, right?
It happened last night, and what I resented more than anything else was this man who stood by and watched his woman, I shouldn't say his woman, he watched his wife say to me, the clams taste rancid. And we're not a seafood place, Phil. This is the part that angers me. We're a steakhouse. We have seafood as a courtesy. So that when you come into a steakhouse, such as Ted's of Beverly Hills, which is known for its steak, and you order clams or you order oysters, you have, in my opinion, you've got a lot of guts walking up to me at the end of the evening and saying, your clams are rancid. This is a steakhouse.
Well, were they rancid? I mean, that's a...
Well, Phil, I'm the sponsor on your program, and you've asked me a question that's potentially explosive. I'd be happy to answer the question, but I don't know what good it does.
It would go a long way toward people, it would go a long way toward people having faith in your business.
All right, you ask the question.
Were the clams rancid?
No, they were not. No, they were not. She was a pain in the you-know-what from the minute she walked through the door. I don't eat clams, so I don't know what they're supposed to taste like. But I ate one of them, and it tasted fine.
Did you have any stomach problems, any nausea, any...
I just gave you the answer. I ate one of them, and it tasted fine. But the point that I'm making bigger than that, Phil, is this. Disney spent $250 million on a movie, and the audience didn't have the common courtesy or decency to go and see that film after the years that Disney has put in entertaining them, entertaining their children, being a virtual babysitter to their children. If you think about it, Disney, if Disney charged what the average babysitter charges for watching children, Disney would have, well, Disney now would be, in point of fact, you know, the old saying, he's got more money than God. I do believe they would have more money than God. I really do.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL as we talk about product loyalty here with Ted Bell from Ted's Beverly Hills. Let's go to a phone call. We have Richard on the line. Richard, you're on with Ted Bell. Go ahead, sir.
Ted, I just wanted to pass along through Phil. We just picked up this program in my market. This is about the third time
that yes, sir.
Phil's been on.
Yes, sir. What market are you in, sir? What market is that?
This is in the Baton Rouge market.
You're in the Baton Rouge, that's Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Okay.
That is correct. And your station is new. 107.3. It's new.
I don't care that much. I just wanted to know what market you're in.
Well, I'm
okay, but I do. I care.
Okay.
You don't have to go into a big speech.
I care, Ted. I'd like to know what station it is.
All right.
Well, Ted, you're not going to care for what else I have to say. I'm a retired management consultant. Had a extremely
That indicts you. If you're retired, then you're out of the mainstream. You don't really know what's...
Let's listen to the gentleman and see what he has to say.
I'm 39 years old, so I'm still functioning.
I doubt it. Well, your voice has... There's a dryness in your larynx that sounds older.
You know, that's practice. That's practice. Ted,
you
I just...
Practice
you
drying your larynx out?
I think you're nuts, Ted Bell. What you said makes no sense.
Well, sir, you're the one that's unemployed, not me.
Anybody.
And I'm saying...
No sense to anybody. Disney spends...
I don't think you can speak for everyone. I think you can speak for yourself, sir, and I think that that is what you're doing, and you're doing it very well. But Disney spent $250 million on this movie.
Right.
Did you go see it? No, you didn't see it.
Who cares?
I'll tell you something.
They
didn't have the common decency... They didn't have the common decency to go see a film that was produced by a company that has babysat your kids.
Ted, what difference does it make if somebody makes a bad product and nobody uses it, or in this case, nobody goes to see it?
It was $250 million. Disney makes bad products? Are you going to sit there and tell me that Disney... You know, people are doing twists and flips to get into their amusement parks, to ride on their roller coasters, to get pictures with what do you call it, the mouse?
Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse. And you're telling me that all of a sudden they're a crap can company and they make lousy products? No, that doesn't fly.
I'm saying that the specific instance you gave could apply to many companies and to other Disney products. Disney has made bombs before this, and people did not recognize it. Listen, I've tried to talk now. It's been 5 minutes.
Right. You're interrupting this gentleman. You're interrupting this man, Ted. I wish you would.
Such a rude...
I made a statement. Ass bag?
Well, how about this?
What is that? What's an ass bag?
You've got a...
That's something that you have since the colostomy? I don't...
Okay, let's not be smart. Let the gentleman finish.
There's only one gentleman, and it's me. So you've got a...
Yes, sir.
...that I agree is good just because Phil said it's good, not because you said it's good. And you have a product on your menu that a woman found objectionable. So what you do is attack her. You attack the woman, and she probably was being truthful with you. So here's a freebie. Here's free consulting. Take seafood off your menu. Just take
free consulting.
And use your...
Is this guy for real? This guy's... You're sitting in Baton Rouge. And you're out of work, and you're telling me?
He's retired. The man's retired.
Oh, give me a...
He doesn't listen.
Who are you that I listen? I'm not gonna... Who are you, sir? I mean, with all due respect, who are you to listen to? You're some guy that called a talk show. I'm here, and I'm to our clams. I dare you to eat one of our clams. You'll love it. You'll make love to it.
Listen, you know what? Next time I'm out there, I'll come by and have clams. And I'll
on me. On me.
And I'll look
at
me. And I'll tell you the truth. If you play
and you're going to love it. And the meal's on me.
All right, we'll be right back. Phil Henry Show. 877-876-7445.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Table two.
Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Table two.
Steakhouse, come on down.
Go on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. The NBA season is in full swing, and guess what? Looks like the Lakers are going to deal off that Gasol guy, the center. Who are they going to get? Are they going to beat the Clippers out? You know.
Do you want to put our meat in your mouth?
I got too much going on.
Phil Henry here with Ted Bell. You're pretty busy there tonight, Ted?
Well, we do have a good crowd, so I'm between doing your show, which I appreciate doing, Phil, and I am a sponsor of your program, but I'm between that and I'm also trying to hustle my people up. We're doing the best way. We're doing the best we can with what we have. What can I tell you? And
all right, let's take a phone call here. We got Lloyd listening to us in Alhambra tonight. Lloyd, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell. Go ahead.
I don't know. Can you hear me? I can hear you very well, sir. Yes. All right. Are you telling me that you are serving me a rancid clam? I didn't understand the gentleman.
Are you serving rancid clams? Is that your policy?
Is it your policy to serve, well, as you described it, rancid clam? No, sir, it is not. And yet you argued with that woman who said that you had given her a rancid clam. No, she had ordered, sir, a dozen clams. These are boiled. These are clams that are stewed in our butter broth. It is a delicious dish. And, I like clams, and I've had them all my life. I come from the East Coast, but I don't understand you telling this woman or any consumer, welcome to my restaurant, the clams are rancid. Because we are a steakhouse, and a damn good steakhouse, I think you should expect that the seafood at times could be rancid. And here's why that's the stupidest thing that I've ever heard, sir. Excuse me, sir. You know, I didn't interrupt you, sir. Well, you know, I have to interrupt you because that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I did not interrupt you, sir. Now, the steak we make, I put against any steak in America. And as you know, America has the greatest steaks in the world. So when I tell you that we put our steak against any steak in America, basically what I'm telling you is we make the greatest steak on Earth. On Earth, on the planet Earth. When you come along and start going on and on and on and on about a rancid clam, that's like that. You know what that's like saying? That's like saying, how come your Volkswagen didn't win the Indy 500? Are you serious? No. And no, that's exactly what it means. And I have the right. And you don't have any right to come into my place, order a clam, and then tell me it better taste like it came out of Aliotto's you-know-what.
All right, the gentleman, I think he hung up anyway. 877-876-PHIL. So are you saying, Ted, that serving bad clams is a part of the... You're not saying that's part of the dining experience.
No, I'm not. No, only a moron would say that. I'm saying, you come to my place to order steak. Get serious.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to... we've got Greg here. Greg, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
First, I'd like to thank him for sponsoring this show. This is a great show. I'm a truck driver. I listen to it every night. But the point I'm going to make, as a customer, You need to earn my business every time I walk into your restaurant. And if I've been in there six times and everything was fabulous, now, serves me something I don't like, I'm going to let you know about it. And
in a recession? In a recession, you're saying to me, as I struggle to stay afloat, as I struggle to keep my employees employed, you think what you'd like to do is go ahead and stick it in deeper and twist it. Is that what? Because that's what I think is happening to Disney. In the middle of a recession, they go out and spend $250 million, which I think is a pretty spare amount of money to make a movie. And do they get any loyalty? They get none.
I don't care if they spend $1 trillion on that movie. I would not invest a nickel of my money to support Disney, because out of that $250 million, they probably put at least $1 billion into the gay rights movement. Do you support the gay rights movement?
Yes, as you do.
No, I don't.
I'm joking. No, I know you're. You know what they say about guys that don't, you know, that are against gays? They're probably gay themselves. Have you thought of that?
That's it.
Well, have you thought of that? No, I'm just. Have you thought of that?
I'm just telling
you. What has that got to do with anything, Ted?
Well, this guy's bringing a whole other topic into it. And I'm telling you, it's psychologists will tell you, guys that have a problem with gays, they have a fear that maybe they go that way. That's psychology. That's not me.
All right.
So we're not really, you know, that we're off topic, but I appreciate your call, sir. I don't really want to talk about gay rights, though. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Ross. Ross, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Phil. I was just calling. Yeah. I actually just came out of the John Carter from Mars movie, and I thought it was a great movie. But I've been a fan of Edgar Rice Burroughs for a long, long time.
Well, there you go. You're proving my point.
But what I wanted to say is that just because it's a recession or just because it's Disney, nobody owes Disney anything. They don't have to go there and see the movie if they don't want to. And frankly, I think Disney didn't do a very good job of marketing this movie. I think it's a much, much better movie than what you saw by watching the few commercials and things that they put out for it.
You know what? You know, that's a good point, because the only thing I saw of it were the billboards. I saw the billboards appear, I'd say, about 3 weeks ago. And all it was John Carter and what looked like two gorillas until you got closer to the billboard and you realized it was some sort of creature from another dimension, you know. And I'm going, what the hell is that? John Carter? Is that the name of a disc jockey? Is that, are they?
Oh, Phil, what, you know, yeah. I listen to you guys. Let me ask you something.
Well, hold on, Ted. This gentleman read the books by Edgar Rice Burroughs. This is based on novels by Edgar Rice Burroughs, correct, Ross?
Yes, that's right.
And you read them and liked them.
I read them probably, I'm 40, and I was probably 10 or 12 when I read them. I was young enough that I didn't even know who the author was, and for years I've actually been looking for those books because I want to give them to my son as he gets a little older. So it's not like this is a book that, you know, just saying John Carter from Mars, everyone's going to go, oh, you know, I know what that is. I want to go see that movie.
Can I jump in here, Bill?
Go ahead.
Well, this gentleman is saying that he read the Edgar Rice Burroughs books. As far as I know, the only thing that Edgar Rice Burroughs ever wrote that was worth anything was Tarzan. Now this gentleman tells me about, okay, Disney took a classic novelist, Edgar Rice Burroughs, that every child has read when it comes to Tarzan, and they put it on the screen. And this is something that Disney has done, I think, and they are should be commended, that they have made us aware of these great novelists, from Edgar Allan Poe to Jules Verne, now Edgar Rice Burroughs. And this gentleman went out and saw the movie, and he even said he'd take his child. But what did the rest of America do? Because they didn't get exactly what they wanted from Disney, which was probably another a magic lantern movie with a bunch of songs. Oh, boy. You know, and it makes me sick to my stomach. And because they didn't get that, they don't go to the movie and essentially lift their leg to a company that has been family-friendly for a long time.
Well, I mean, you know, this man liked it, and you say you would take your kids to see it, sir, but Ross made a really good point, and it's about marketing. Disney did not do marketing properly. I saw billboards here in Los Angeles, and that's it. The commercials I saw, starting maybe a couple of weeks ago, I saw the commercials.
Well, hold on for a minute. You're doing something here that I didn't want to do. You're making Disney the bad guy. The point of this hour that I wanted it to be is how the consumer has stuck it to Disney one more time.
And stuck it to Disney.
It was a $250 million movie. And the average consumer, that I don't know what they, if they didn't have Disney, their kids would be in much, much worse shape than they are now. Do you know the children that Disney has saved? And I mean this sincerely, Phil. Do you know that Disney has had to be a parent as well as a filmmaker? Do you know that Disney has had to pick some children up out of the sewer and clean them up and set them on the right path in life because their parents are a disgrace? Disney's done that. Disney's done that for America. And what did Disney get for their trouble this weekend? All of those parents whose children were picked up out of a sewer, those parents lifted their legs to the company that cleaned their kids up and pulled them out of a storm drain. And so I think that they are owed a little bit more than that.
877-876-PHIL here on the Phil Henry Show. Let me go over to Adam. Adam, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Ted Bell. I'm just curious. I'm also an executive chef. Well, I am an executive chef in the same industry you are. And just along the lines of your restaurant and everything, you mind what type of beef do you use, you know, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, what's that got to do with what we're talking about?
Well, I'm wondering.
But I don't like these questions.
No, I'll give you the premise of where I'm going with this. There's a lot
of large
and small ranchers out there right now that are struggling to make ends meet and struggling through this recession. And I'm wondering how much you buy from each one of the ranches across this great nation.
Let me just tell you this. From ranchers. Nobody buys from ranchers. People, we buy from wholesale. Okay? And I'm not here to justify my business. Is this guy going to listen to me, Phil, or is he going to dominate the conversation?
Okay, what is the point here, gentlemen? What is the point here? What are we talking about?
This guy's a chef, and he's asking me about my restaurant. I'm telling him and anybody else that's interested that I do a quality product. Disney does a quality product. If this guy here, Andrew, whatever his name is, Adam, does a good product, then I expect people will be loyal to it.
But you don't.
What rancher do I buy from? Are you serious?
Yeah, sure.
I don't think you are a chef. I don't think you are a chef.
Well, I buy directly from a co-op that's based out of Oregon, and they have seven ranchers, and I actually have met all seven of them personally. I speak to them.
And what's that got to do with Disney? What's that got to do with Disney getting screwed?
Well, you say that, you know, they put all this money into this money, and as consumers,
exactly,
they built a brand, and they deserve loyalty to it. Well, these ranchers have built a brand, and they deserve loyalty. So how much loyalty are you spreading?
What is this guy talking about?
Okay, you guys are talking across purposes. I guess he doesn't use a ranchers, Adam, so it's
okay,
pumping a dry well there. 877, to coin a phrase, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The loyalty that the audience is not showing to Disney. Disney put $250 million into the John Carter movie series, $250 million into that film. They only made $5 million the opening weekend. Ted Bell is with us saying basically the consumer didn't have the common decency to support a company that had supported them for many years. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Ted Bell from Ted's Beverly Hills is on the line with us as we continue discussing product loyalty, where, you know, the recession that we are just coming out of was brutal. And, you know, as I say, we're just coming out of it. I guess we can argue, are we or are we not? But the point is, it was brutal. And, Ted, you think that a lot of businesses suffered and a lot of businesses got no loyalty from customers during the downtime, and you're even seeing this with Disney. Now, I wanted to ask you...
Yeah, I'm seeing it with Disney with the $250. Maybe people don't know how much $250 million is. That's a lot of money. Disney, and in my restaurant, where I do the greatest steak you're ever going to eat in your life, and the woman comes in, she's married to... Bill Jeffcoat, who has been a business partner of mine off and on. We've produced a couple of movies together, and he's on good days, he's a good guy. But he comes in with this, you know, girlfriend. And I don't know whether he put her up to it or whether she did it on purpose. They come into a place that says Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, and the first thing she orders are the clams and the butter broth. And I remember shaking my head. I was back in the kitchen because Jerry came back and a few of the servers and Paul was there, our chef. And I said, "What's the story?" They said, "She did it. She's ordered the clams." And I shook my head and I said, "You know what? I've known that guy Jeffcoat, and I know that he is a low. He's the dregs of society."
This guy's a former business partner?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've seen, and believe me, I've been around some real scum. This guy's the dregs. And he comes in with this woman, and the first thing she does is she throws the curveball high and tight. "Let me have the clams." Well, what am I supposed to do?
You serve her clams that aren't rancid.
You know what, Phil? I'm the sponsor of your show, and...
All right, well, okay, but that's what she claimed.
Yeah, that's what she claimed. And I said to her, you know, even if they were rancid, which I don't believe they are, but let's say they were, you'd have to prove to me that they are. And she said, "How am I supposed to do that?" I said, "Quite frankly, whatever effect they have on you physically. And you're not going to do that, because the only thing that you can prove is that you threw up or you had diarrhea, and I don't want to see either." And that's when she admitted to me she couldn't prove it. So why did she come into my restaurant and order the clams and say they're rancid and cause this scene there in front of at least two other tables? Why? Because Jeffcoat, in my opinion, is trying to run my business down.
Well, I don't know what I don't know these people.
Well, I do, believe me.
I don't know the people involved, and I don't really think that the way to prove whether you have bad clams is the way that you put it together necessarily. Let's go to Luis here on the Phil Henry Show. Luis, go ahead. You're on with Ted Bell.
Hey, guys. What an interesting conversation you guys have. No, I just think, you know, I do product development for one of the biggest medical device companies in the world, actually. And, you know,
What did you say, sir? One of the biggest what?
Medical device companies in the world.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and so when we put out a product, it's got to be the very best, right? So I believe that he says he's got the very best steak, right? So
yes,
I think, right? And you know what? When you have a customer like that, the only thing you can do is you got to go back and say, "Look, I'm sorry about that," and make it a positive experience for that person, because the worst thing you can have in business is an upset customer, and they'll give you negative press, right? So whether you make a lousy movie in Disney or you have rancid clams, it doesn't matter, right? You just have to...
I don't agree. No, I don't agree, because I would say this. At some point, you have to draw a line in the sand. And if someone comes in and says, "Well, guess what? Your clams are rancid." It's like that lady that, I don't know if you heard the story, Smith and Walensky. You know this restaurant? They got them all over the country. Some woman claimed that there was a condom in her clam chowder, and guess what Smith and Lewinsky said? They said, "Prove it, because we think you planted it." And they were right. She did plant it. She dropped her lawsuit, and they countersued her. Now,
well, what are you saying?
I'm saying that, you know, it's very like, I'm saying, yes, it is likely our clams were rancid, but I think it's likely that they came in expecting the clams to be rancid, ordered them, so they could start talking garbage about me.
Ted, you got to take those clams off the menu then. I mean, you are the best steakhouse. You stick to your steak. That's what you got to do. The minute
you start
diversifying into other products, you're going to lose that, you know, that focus, and other people are going to just see you as with your steak, with your clams. It doesn't matter. You're a steak guy. Stick to what you do best.
No, I know. But you got to have seafood for these people to come in. They expect it. You know, in other words,
Then you
got to
be ready. Then you got to be ready, right? Like if
I was ready. I was ready. I had.
You were just saying
you
that.
You weren't.
Go ahead.
You weren't ready. You had rancid clams on the menu.
Right.
I said it was likely they were rancid. But why? Well, I don't think you guys quite understand the restaurant business.
Well, you know what? I've been to plenty of restaurants, and you know the worst thing is as a consumer, right? If the guy comes back and says, "Look, I'm sorry about that," and do your best, especially in this recession, when you talk about the recession, you got to stay in business. And the way you stay in business,
I would
is you get happy customers.
Yes, absolutely. And I would have done it with any other customer except for this guy's girlfriend, because I knew who he was and I knew what she was making a scene. And I said, "Let me tell you something, sister." And I shouldn't have talked to her like that because the people heard me. But I
exactly.
said, "Well."
Well, Ted, you know, you talk to people sometimes like you're a gangster. And even if you know this guy, and even if you know her, and you know that they're in there to cause trouble, you got to keep it under wraps, man. You know.
Oh, is that right, man? Okay, man.
Oh, look, Ted, you know, I'm trying to help you here.
All right, but what gives them the right to come? Why do they have the right to come in and this, excuse my language, this broad that Jeffcoat's dating stands up and says, oh, your clams taste like you-know-what. She used the word, A-S-S.
Hey.
Well.
Hey, Ted, you know what you can do? Ted, listen, the next time something like that happens, you go to the two tables that hurt you and say, you know what, I'm sorry about that scene. Let me give you a taste of my clams.
Okay.
Right?
Let me give you a taste of my what?
Let me give you
okay,
a
thank you very yeah, no, thank you very much. Appreciate it, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Ted Bell with us.
Look, Phil, next time don't have me talking to some product guy. I own the restaurant, okay?
That gentleman's a caller. 877-876-7445. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.